your question before.
No. So I'm following up with Katie. And you are in Ireland today, right? Right.
And
Okay.
it's actually
Just
beautiful and sunny. Yeah.
good. It's the same where I am, just outside Sedona. But you started to ask me a question, and I want to make sure that we are recording this for, posterity and to share with others. And so let's get back to your questions and kind of pick up where we left off last time.
Yeah. Well, can I ask the same question I just asked?
Well, you'll
So,
have to ask because nobody else heard
okay,
it.
so I'm very curious about what it was like during the solar eclipse time. And what I mean really is a couple hours before and then after, at like the day of and the day after, kind of what it was like the energy, how it affected your body, and just being in the atmosphere.
I'd like to say that I noticed something different and tangible, but quite honestly, I didn't. And I don't want to say it was much ado about nothing. Let me put this into perspective. The area that I'm in, just outside Sedona, is already elevated energy. And so, really, unless something markedly changes, that kind of vibration's already high where I am, and I just kind of slip in and out of it depending on how much other third dimensional white noise is around us all. So I'm not a good barometer for any changes that might have taken place because I was already in a highly charged, highly energetic place to begin with. And I was going through some other changes, just having to do with my own journey, that I had catapulted into a whole nother spectrum like the week before last, anyway, when I decided that I was supposed to be focusing on my own flame for a while. And when I did recognize that and started to do, in fact, that, wow, things opened up and then new people continued to come my way. Look at how we connected. And I just went through the list before, we went live with other people that it's amusing to think that I've been trying to catch up and make sure that I'm accommodated people when I've offered to do these Zoom sessions. Because it's one thing to kind of text back and forth. We really need to speak really personally, one on one, to communicate the topics we're talking about. This isn't really translated that well through messaging. And not that I focus on it, but the more that we push all this text out through the internet, the more it's being stored somewhere else anyway. So there's a part of me that says these communications we're having with Tribe, we're all developing them so that most of that is going to take place telekinetically, and using those methods anyhow. We're just reestablishing ourselves, and the community is like assembling itself once again. That's been the part that's been the most amusing over the last 2 weeks. Whatever caused this new wave of people coming in my direction, it didn't stop. In fact, yesterday I had agreed to do a podcast interview, and I hadn't really done any for a while. And this just spawned a whole nother level of people who are on the beginning of their ascension journeys, and they recognize that. Well, hell, that was me 3 years ago. Do I have resources that can help? Absolutely. Here's where you can find them. So, it looked like last year when I kind of stepped back from things and really sequestered and found peace and solace there. Yeah, that was last year. That is not now. And that's just as well because we're all waiting for these changes to take place. So if I'm interpreting the energies I'm feeling right, we're so much closer. The veil is thinning so much more between, this awareness of other dimensions and stepping in and out of them, that it's got to be happening with other people as well. And that's what we're finding out. people who had these experiences at another time in their lives when they were growing up. And there was one this week that I'd heard. This, I'll say her name, Lisa. We can leave it at that. But Lisa's from the area in New Orleans. And without going into too much, because she'll be here to tell her story soon enough, she had an instance back in 2012 where the awareness of things beyond herself and communicating with that level of stuff, oh, it took place. And then, for whatever reason, it ceased in 2015. And I can't remember whether it was in 2020 or 2022. It was one of the two, where here we go again. And so now, when that begins, this is not a topic that you discuss within her family. And if you can imagine, she's sixth generation where she is in. So her family is nested. She has like 24 cousins. Anyway, you are just like me when it began happening. I'm looking for touchstones. I was last night during the interview, it occurred to me that the reason I started to tell the story about Telos right after wasn't to tell the story about Telos and get attention toward myself. I was looking for some touchstone who could help me understand what the hell just happened with me. And looking back at it, it probably leaked out sooner than it should have for the impact of the story to be told properly. I hadn't assimilated any of it. And within 3 weeks, I'm trying to explain to people what happened to me. And looking back, I wasn't prepared in any way to do it. But how else do you get help? So these instances were tribes showing up again. It's people who have had a sense of this type of awareness beyond themselves prior to now. And for whatever reason, here we go again. But now we've found a tribe. Wow, here's a place where we can go have these conversations. And no one's going to risk. In fact, they invite me to talk about all these wild things because they're not all that wild. When you start to step into the things and the densities of things that we can experience now, it's got to be happening with every human being if you're paying attention.
I was listening to Dolores Cannon. Do you know who that is?
I do.
I was listening to an interview she did. She looked older, so I actually don't know when it was. And yeah, it's so interesting. She was talking about New Earth and kind of what would happen, what will happen, that the people it doesn't happen for, and the people it does happen for, they won't know. They won't even know what happened because the frequency, it's just the frequency shift.
Yes.
It was interesting.
We're getting used to communicating at that vibrational level where all that takes place. So you're absolutely right. We're getting acclimated to these new conditions that are being presented to us. We're getting used to it. And so you're right. When we finally reach that level, when Earth catches up with it and her consciousness is here, it just seems like my being, there's no change. My vibration's been here for a while. When you start to look around now at all the other white noise that used to be in a lower density, that is what's gone. Yeah, Dolores came across my path after these things began to happen. And I was not aware of her background or the fact that she'd written multiple books after these things had happened. But as I understand it, she had been like a hypnotherapist. That was her trade way back. And when she began, her clients began to share these extraordinary multidimensional stories. And she was beginning to assemble this archive of all these experiences her clients were having. And through that experience, she was developing her own tools to be able to have them herself. So from there, she developed this QHHT process and trained others so that, she had a gift that she understood how to use. She was going to help others gain the same perspective and the ability to use that. And it's her daughter now who has, kind of perpetuated what she started. And there are a lot of people I've met, several practitioners that are proficient in that particular modality. And I've been in two sessions with them. They're legit.
Yeah, I have a good friend here who does that work. And I was in London for a while, and there I met a lady who I did a couple of regression therapy with her. And yeah, she said she studied under Dolores. And it was very interesting because one of my experiences was I was going down, I don't know, it's like a hall that just in my memory now is like a short hallway. I opened a door and there were loads of like fairies and flying things, but beings and things. And I just couldn't handle it. I was like shut that door. It was just like, and then when I heard that Dolores was like believed in aliens and like my therapist was telling me this lady I was gone to. And I was just like, I can't handle that. I was like, no, that's not true. It's not real. I just couldn't. The whole thing was so. I mean, where I'm at now, and my awareness of things, and how I keep just like opening and opening and opening. Just so much has come into my awareness these past few weeks, even. And I'm very open. I'm very, very open to it. But I mean, through the people who I've heard speak, and like you said last time, when I'm talking about these people, like for instance, David Wallace and a man named Chris Bledsoe, it's just the love vibration. And I trust how that's making me feel. And I trust them because I feel in my heart that that's the truth. And then because of that, then it makes me curious what's going on here, you know? I've been reading a book by a lady called Mary Rodwell, called actually I have it here, and I'm just going to show it because I have it, and it literally kind of put it down. Like I don't know if you've read this. It's probably backwards. The New Human.
We all know Mary, and we all have a lovely soft spot. Here is a really authentic experiencer, and she was one of the first ones that Dave Wallace speaks about his connection with her and how they met and they developed a bond. And it was through that connection that I, came to know who Mary was and have a lot of respect for her in this community because I got pulled into this community. When I started to speak, I was naive and I didn't know who these people were. I just had this idea of, paying attention to the metaphysical side of ourselves opened up some other things. And it sounds like these people had that elevated perspective that I was getting, and I was hoping for nourishment through your connection with them, right? Yeah, it ain't like that. There is a small portion of those people who show up for these things that are driven by that instinct inside of them, and it comes out authentically and pure, and it's true in your heart, just like you explained. But the others, and I'm not saying that they didn't experience extraordinary things. To me, my interpretation, my observation is that their ego got the better of them. And now that they realized that they've got some attention toward themselves as a result of this, that is now their intent. And the message gets muddled. And when I see it, I tune it out immediately because, look, I have my own ego to tame. I don't need to listen to anybody else's. And in that, there are pieces that we get during energy exchanges with others that I appreciate more and more now. But I'm really picky about where I invest my attention and my time and my energy. And it's not that I don't know I'm connected to everybody else, but I'm no longer going to stop and try and course correct you. That's not my job in the first place. And I have my own course to keep corrected. So that's where my attention has been drawn to over the last week, 2 weeks. And really, what has happened? And the people that have come out of freaking nowhere, same mentality, same. I can recognize in every one of them places along my path where I can see where you are because I was there once. And it's a wonderful thing to see. It tells me that if this is affecting these others like we thought they were going to, it's just indicative of how much closer to this actual shift unfolding than we really thought that we were. Look at just when I listen to your discussion about, what your mindset was before, and I heard you say, yeah, that can't be true. Well, based on our conditioning and what we thought we knew, we thought what we had absorbed, this doesn't align. So if I'm going to limit myself to, what I'm hearing based on what I have in my head, you're right. I can't grow any further than that. But you yourself said that there was something that just triggered you to remain open to these things that were foreign to you, because when they hit your field, like they do me, they resonate. They resonate. You know that they do from a reason that you didn't have stored in your head, but you just know that this is true. And now, when you remain open to that, here is the vessel the universe has been waiting for you to open yourself so it can show you these other extraordinary things. I associate what we get now, and I kind of recognize this process. All of us humans are receiving downloads of light packets of information. So that's going to be enough for you to try and figure out where that's coming from. But there's solar energy that's coming and affecting all sentient life, from the planet down to all of us critters that are crawling across here. Well, those changes are taking place because Earth's composition is changing. Her consciousness is rising. And this effort for the rest of the sentient life to match the vibration where the Earth is going, that's what this process is all about. But look at how quickly it accelerated. It wasn't that long ago, really 4 years ago, that I talked about things the way that you did. I didn't know any of this, and really it's beyond my scope of understanding. But once I got out in nature and opened up and things were revealed out there, you can't ignore when things are placed in your path so many times. And then when I began to get these unsolicited messages from others, the third one sold me. And I've had countless ones since then that, until again, you're open to this information, you're not in a position to receive in the first place. So, those first downloads, all of us received, in my opinion, give us the ability for our bodies at this cellular level, because there's a different stratum of light that's coming our way. But these little carbon forms that we ride around in, they weren't designed for that. So the first things that we get are upgrades for our DNA that allow us to hold higher frequencies and greater light. Once we can do that, now the downloads that we receive prepare us to interpret what they're sending us, because the messages we're getting are vibrational and we haven't communicated that way before. So once we've have an awareness of our aura and we feel that sensation and that sense around us, now the information they send us is going to be start to stored here, but they provided us with an interpreter in that first those first light packages that's going to assist us in helping understand that. Now, none of this is instantaneous. When I say that you're going to receive some light packages that are going to help you with the interpretation, that process, in my experience, took me weeks to recognize. And once you do, now you can understand the downloads you're receiving. Then they can begin to send you updated information that you can understand in the way that they send it to us. Nobody speaks to you in languages. Which one would they pick in the first place? All of this information is being sent vibrationally, and the information we're getting is light packets of information we're receiving. We're so used to these carbon forms and what we do in the third dimension that this is our only framework. So, these opportunities to kind of enlighten you to other things to expect. That's what seems to be coming out now.
This reminds me of another thing that Dolores was saying, how language is so slow to them. They're like, you put one word and then another word and then the other word, where they said to her, think of Christmas. When you say that one word, there's a huge amount of meanings behind it. You think of all the different, there's so many different things, and to each of us, a different thing, maybe, you know? And so you're thinking of all those things in that one thing. And she says, this is the way they communicate. You have the one thing might mean a huge block of something. And then
Yes.
those, so that it's a bigger, like you said, in a light package, and there's a frequency, and then there's more behind it. I just remember David Wallace talking about the maths and how slow our maths are. And you should just have, sorry, in Ireland say maths, so I always switch my English one way or the other, but it's math to us, but it's maths. Maths always sounds funny as a plural word to me, but I've got used to saying it because my daughter goes to takes maths and not math. But yeah, how the math works is that, you know, we're just so slow, and it's the whole all the equation. You have to write everything out, when you could just write like an X or a star, and that could mean that huge amount of stuff. And then, you know, you can just go get by so much quicker in this kind of language, that kind of way.
Yeah, when he started to, I love that you refer to Dave because Dave really illuminated a lot of this stuff for me, especially on the information we're receiving. And if you can, if you focused on when he talked about the light packages we're receiving, and I heard that from Dave right before a channeling I had with Yegyamaya, which explained something that she was explaining that was happening during the process. This idea that light codes are coming in almost like a compressed fashion. And I see that, if you were to turn it, it looks now like a sigil. So there's a symbol behind what's in there. But as Dave pointed out, if you were to see this light when we got it, it's this long thing behind it. If you saw the fourth dimensional version of this, you would see it's not like marks on paper. It has dimension and it holds codes. And so, like you explained, there was a reason why when hieroglyphics were developed and that way of communicating were developed, you see it around you all over the place. Dave's talked about it often when we looked at symbols and a sequence of symbols, when they were combined, could mean a variety of things when you understood the nature of what the symbol itself meant. So, in my opinion, when we humanity got themselves into the biggest trouble is when we began to articulate using words. That's why I'm resonating so much when we're going back to sound and color and symbols and vibration. Here is the way that we'll be communicating in the future because this kind of communication between you and I will not take place using this language.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, like even just in our third dimensional selves, people understand this already. You go into an office meeting, you go meet a friend out, they're what you're seeing, feeling, sensing before they've said anything, and then they say something different than what you're sensing. You can already tell what's true, what's not true. People know this already. It's so interesting, isn't it?
It is. It makes you just stop to really consider what's important. And then you realize that a lot of this communication I've had with people is very shallow, and it has nothing to do with other than people's, like, their cosmetics. It blows me away when I understand that what we put out is our contributions to the universe, right? And so when I look at social media and I look at the nature of all these memes and the things that people are sharing out there, I ask myself, so that's your contribution? There are those that I don't understand the, like, there are people that are compelled, if you look at their profiles, it's just pictures of them. I don't know why it's just pictures of them, but that's when I ask, is this your contribution? I'm not quite sure why you keep taking pictures of yourself. There's got to be more to you. And again, I just lose my interest. I send you love and light, but I already know what you look like, and I'm not really looking for, details and changes that you're having. The social media is probably the biggest cause for the perceptions that we have all made. I remember the things that I absorbed when I was younger, when I went to Sunday school class and to church with my parents. And well, I didn't grow up with my parents, I grew up with my grandparents. So that's a whole another dynamic of, where we get our information and school and the pocket of friends that we had and the things that we did were totally different than the nature of the things and the speed of the communication which we had things now. When I was first made aware of the internet, it was early in the stages. When I first saw the World Wide Web in 1995, I started to envision, oh my God, that idea of having instant communication, here it is. And I thought of all the lovely things it would deliver for us. I never thought of all the other bullshit it was going to perpetuate. That would just clog up the real information you're trying to get to. And it just added another layer of scrutiny that I would have to put against everything I got. Oh, yeah, you can get instant information. Whether it's accurate or not, here's where the rubber meets the road. And we didn't have to deal with that when I was younger. It's a curse and a blessing, as I see it, but it's indicative of when technology rose so quickly. As I've been looking back at history and trying to figure out what happened when, you got to go back past, our calendar and when Christ was born, and we kind of just started the AD from there. But even if you did, think of what it was like in the pictures that you've seen when Christ walked on the earth and what Jerusalem was like and Israel. And it wasn't this kind of technology. It was within 2,000 years. And we've had history on earth prior to that. But I want you to look at and consider what's happened since the early 1900s and what's changed now over that
Huge,
the period
huge,
of
huge.
time, and look at all the technologies that were developed from then. Something told me that the histories of Lemuria and especially Atlantis and the lessons that we learned were supposed to be shared and illuminated again so we don't make the same mistakes and blow up portions of the planet that it's not ours to begin with. This is a cosmic asset that we've showed disregard for a lot of time, just living on the planet and stripping her the way that she was. Never mind that we had the audacity to create weapons that could destroy the planet or parts of it. We already did that. Now, the good news, as I've come to terms with it, is this beyond Earth sentient exchange and that presence that we know that is here now. I am certain that they're already watching, that we won't do that again. And there's plenty of evidence that we've seen about these light things that have come from nowhere. And attacked isn't the right word. They were deployed against a warhead that was dispensed, and this thing hit it from four different directions while it was in flight and disabled the warhead. That's why I know that where in the past humanity had been hands off because it needed to evolve on its own, but seeing how we weren't, and we had been manipulated along the way, that in the grand scheme of things, we were still left to our own until World War II. And that time then is what resonates with me, is when we demonstrated what we could and would do when we dropped a hydrogen bomb on another country. That seemed to be the time that this idea that there wasn't any more help that was coming from somewhere else. Oh, yes, they were showing up in droves then. In fact, many of us incarnated in form here on this side to assist while the shift is taking place. That's why we're here. There's real sense to the reason why many of us are here in physical form right now, because we were going to be here during the period the shift was going to take place. And it's soon. Look at all of the evidence. All of this electromagnetic energy coming from the sun with an electromagnetic shield around us that's deteriorating, and the elevated amount of stuff that's coming off the sun during solar maximum. It's just a matter of time that her vibration match rises and stays there. And here we are in our new element. You're right. It'll almost seem like you see this scenario in one moment, and in the next moment, I'm in a different environment. You know, we do that now. People that are able to astral project and, bilocate, we already have experiences, being in this place and traveling somewhere else. So it's not that that idea is impossible. Start to wrap your eyes or your mind around the idea and make it your intent to start to model your life that way, because you have command over those things right now. And man, every time I hear somebody else's story about some kind of new magic, it just tells me the veil's thinning even more. Because you wouldn't be able to talk about or experience the things you are without that taking place. The energies that I was used to in Shasta first that were so profound, when I found them somewhere else here in Arizona, that same kind of elevated energy, that surprised me first, and I had to get used to it. But I was used to having those experiences out in nature where there's no one else around to disturb it with any white noise. Now, what's shocking to me is where I am is on, it's not a major thoroughfare, but there's traffic that goes by the house often, and there's animals that live, in the lots adjacent to the place. These elevated multidimensional things are happening in this environment. And in the past, historically, for me, that kind of noise would have, it wouldn't have created a vibration conducive to those things taking place. And so, yet, they're taking place in these environments now. To
Your
me,
energy is different than it was then.
there's your evidence that things are changing. So, that really, when I think I'm standing in 3D, I'm experiencing the fourth dimensional things I've seen out in nature and experience. They're happening here. So I can't be the only one. Here's the venue where we all get to come and share kind of these things. But wow, that's over the last couple of weeks, it's been was what I was led to expect when I was told that others would come and seek me out. Last year there was a lull period and I was fine with it. It wasn't what I expected. So I got used to it being quiet and being sequestered until it wasn't. Well, I've been asking for this change to manifest. And so I'm getting my wish. It's absolutely changing. And when people like you have shown up and were willing to share it and kind of get their questions answered, there's more evidence that it's taking place.
I had something interesting happen. I did a meditation. That's a guy who does who's in Australia, and he has these meditations, and one was to meet your soul family or something like this. And so I was doing this meditation, and he goes through maybe four or five of these like beyond our sentient kind of beings and peoples. And he just kind of says to connect in with each one as you're going through. And so he says, like, I wouldn't know anything. I would know nothing about any of this at all, nothing. And so, like, I would have been like, I heard Chris Bledsoe speak and I heard David Wallace speak and then I heard you speak. But then there might have been one or two here there that might have resonated, but like I just try not to like look for that stuff because of like you said, there's a lot of stuff out there, and some of it is interesting. Anyway, so he said the word Palladians, and I felt this like huge energy at the back of my head, like huge. Beyond chills and tingling, it was like inside my head, but it was the back of my head, and it might have gone down my spine a bit. And then he said, Sirion, Orion, there's two A words as well, Andromeda or
Andromeda and Arcturian.
Arcturian. Yeah, so those two is zero, not a thing. And then he said the word lyra or lyran, and oh my gosh, my body jumped. I had a huge smile went on my face like that, and my heart was so happy. Like there was so much joy inside of me, and I could see. Now I don't know anything about this. I know nothing. I knew nothing. I looked it up after, but I could see when I was a kid, I watched this program called Zoobly Zoo, and I think it was like an Australian thing, but the people they dressed up as characters. There were a couple of characters that were cats. And then I remembered my own cat when I was a teenager and his paws and the different things about him. And then this cat, a different cat figure or person or something. That I thought was from that Zoobly Zoo thing, but then I couldn't find it. It was like she was dressed in white and she had a green top and a couple other things with cats. And, but anyway, regardless, like I didn't know what the cat thing was, it didn't relate it, but there was lots of cat stuff. And then just the happiness, like this is it. Like I could feel this thing. And then he closes it off. And then I looked up what that it what Lyran is, what the Lyra thing is, and it was so interesting. What's happened afterwards is kind of strange because just in succession, I'll end up watching a YouTube video on a Liren thing and then go to the next thing. And then I was watching Dolores, that was today. But everything seems to add on top of each other or connect or be in sequence somehow. And then the day after this happened, the day after this experience happened, my husband would not be spiritual in every person is spiritual, but he'd be very cynical, let's just say that. He had parked the car and took a walk after dropping my daughter to Scouts. And wherever he was, he had taken the walk and then came back to the car. He had to rest in the car first or something. And he had, wherever he was, there was like a hedge. And then there were like these holes in the hedge. And then there were loads of these orange and strange colored birds coming in and out. And he said one of them sat at the mirror and was poking himself in the mirror. And then just the funny thing is the Liren connection is there's the cats and the birds that either, but I just found that fascinating.
You know what I learned about the Lirans, and Judith Cousell is a South African woman who has written many books. I think she was a librarian before of some kind of regard and did a lot of international travel to, know what she was talking about. Anyway, she wrote a book called Why I Was Born in Africa that was eye-opening for me. And she understood a lot about Earth's development and the resources that came during that time. So when you mentioned Pleiadians, well, Pleiadians resonates with me, and it always had from the beginning. When I came to an understanding of when Earth, it was finally determined Earth would be a life-supporting being, that the Galactic Federation called upon the Pleiadians first because they were master botanists, and they came and built out the mantle for the property or for the planet. It was about the same time that during the Wars of Heaven, the Lirans had lost their planet. It was made uninhabitable, and they moved to Sirius, where they were welcome to continue their evolution. Well, once the mantle was built out on Earth and the word got out about how Eden-like this place was, that was when the scientists that came here and their families first petitioned the Galactic Federation to colonize here on Earth because what they built was so beautiful. Well, the Lirans had heard about that development and had petitioned as well. And so they were granted permission to come here as well. Now, what they brought to the table is the Pleiadians were great with, grid work and crystal temples. They understood where they were positioned and how to form the grid and how to maintain it. Then you had the Lirans, were these 20 to 24 foot beings who were master developers, builders, strategists. I mean, these guys understood how to use sacred geometry and build the Colossus things, many of which is still under the earth that we have not seen yet. But they were responsible for building that out. So between the Lirans and the Pleiadians at the beginning, they were the ones that were responsible coming together to outfit the planet with the grid that we have. Originally, Earth was developed as a seventh dimensional being. And so that grid work was seventh dimensional to begin with, and the Lemurians eventually were responsible for Where things kind of fell apart is when the Atlanteans, in their fifth dimensional awareness, they were interested in, gaining more mastery and knowing what the Lemurians knew. And through a series of missteps, they could no longer reach seventh dimensional vibrations. And so they were forced to create another grid of their own that they could use planet-wide. So it's still in place, but it's limited to fifth dimensional. Now I say limited, it's still way beyond what we understand from a third dimensional technological perspective, but there was technology and wisdom beyond that, they kind of screwed themselves out of. But when you mention Lyrans, it just they're dear to my heart because they were part of the original development for the planet before it started to go through its experimentation phase. And those people that were granted petitions to colonize here were reminded, this is an experiment. Humanity is an experiment on the planet. And we'll just see how it goes. But then over time, as we've talked about, humanity had been manipulated along the way for purposes. And some people know about that, some don't. I don't dwell on it, but I recognize that it happened. But I see what's taking place now. And whatever DNA may have been manipulated before, somehow, in some way, we're being restored to our original human blueprint and everything that's contained within our DNA. So those other 10 strands of junk DNA that we've been carrying, they're about to be activated. And all of the information you've been carrying around in all these incarnations is about to be given back to you. It's incredible.
After that happened, the morning after, I felt like I was more whole in myself, like I was more complete. I understood something. I did see a video on YouTube about Lyrans, and there's a few things here and there about it, but that they tend to be born into military families, or they move a lot and things like this. There's a few other things, but and that they choose lives where there might be control issues or power issues, where people might abuse power or control, and because they're curious and they want to study it. I found that interesting. We moved every 2 years. I don't know why. Why did we? I have no idea. My stepdad was a his dad was in the military, and there were like the control and all this kind of stuff I had to deal with. And I was a runaway when I was a teenager, and, kind of trying to deal with survival and get out of the muck and everything else for years. But you know what? When I heard the thing about the Lyrans and about people who have that soul family, that they would have moved around a lot, like that just made me feel like, oh, I belong somewhere, or this makes sense. Like, definitely makes sense where you don't feel like you're quite at home anywhere, just like traveling.
It's almost normal to be nomadic, but you're right. It's like I relate because I was in the hospitality business. And I was told earlier, really, if I wanted to move up the ladder, I had to be willing to relocate. So 9 states later, I've lived in many places in the country. And at first you're concerned that you're never going to lay down roots. Well, my nature isn't like that. And I, looking back, I'd created my own pot of a family in each one of those communities I'd been in. And so when I go back, I certainly have pockets of people that I knew. But the nature of hotel people is that we never stay in one place for very long anyway. So we've all scattered everywhere, and there are very few places I can go now where I can't run into somebody that I certainly knew from somewhere else. I think it's all part of a greater plan. I knew when you were describing, your background and your family life, keep in mind that you chose these circumstances for this incarnation. You chose your parents and you chose all of this. And when you start to look at things from that perspective, it's not that you're struggling to come to terms with it. Now you understand some of the things because you never can really understand what this was all about on my path from this perspective until I get here. Until I can look back at all the things that led up to this, I don't understand what happened. Now, once you finally get as far down the road as I have on it, you finally have enough experiences to pull together. And now you can finally determine that the things that society and everyone else was trying to tell me, man, they've got a lot of it right. But why they stopped where they did and weren't curious enough to go beyond that, and the wisdom that seems to be out there for us, it just opened up all kinds of other things. And when it was, at first, it was a process of assimilation. And there's a distinction that's come to me now since I started to pay attention to myself and the things that I'm supposed to pay attention to. All along the way, I had been told with the things that I had experienced, there's a period of assimilation to get used to it. Well, now we're out of assimilation and into acclimation. Those things that were new, they ain't new anymore. This is the way things are now. This is the new level of interpretation you have, and we're trying to get you used to it because there's more coming. So there's almost like a bubble that needs to burst with all of us while we're going through this process where, it happens for a while and you still can't believe that any of this is real because based on my experience, this doesn't equate. But then something happens, and all of a sudden, whatever that I see it as a bubble that bursts. And finally, I've opened myself up to things that were out here in the ether that I was closed off from. And holy cow, I can't take it in fast enough and understand it clearly enough. It's crazy.
Okay, so before we end this call, which I'm sure is going to end it at some stage, there are two things I
Oh,
want
this is a good
to talk.
spot, so go
Well, this it's not over yet because I need
ahead. We won't close without whatever two things you need answered, we'll address them for
okay.
sure.
Now, one is just to share that I was driving through the mountains the other day, and the place I go now, Double the Mountains are very old. They're not like the Alps or these kind of mountains, but and I remembered what you said about the Druids. And when was this? It must have been 6 months ago, 8 months ago. I'd passed a forest, and I looked over, and just something in my head just said, "This is where the Druids are." And now this is a while ago, but it's like I knew that. And then around the same place last week, maybe a little further down, I heard, this sounds ridiculous. It's like, I don't want to say it out loud. To me, it sounds ridiculous. But I know it's true because I could feel it's true. Like, I can't even say it.
Come on, you gotta let it out now.
That it just sounds ridiculous. That Bigfoot was calling me to come visit, or it was like, it was absolute, like I could see it in my mind and I could hear it with my senses without words. And yeah, but I didn't go into that forest that day. I went to a different place. Well, it was the same area but further away. But even like coming back and passing it again, I still felt that. I think it was very real. Like obviously I'm laughing and acting silly because it just, as a human being coming from, many years ago, I do remember like one of my favorite films when I was growing up. I remember a few. It was really interesting. One was Flight of the Navigator, if you remember that, in the 80s. And
Yes.
it was a little boy, and he lost like 20 years of time, but he had found this, or this thing had found him, and it was the spacecraft was like how I had heard an interview of someone mentioning how, and it was exactly how you heard the move, like they just do this and then they go sh and this is like in the 80s. And then the Bigfoot one, Harry and the Hendersons, I loved that movie growing up. I saw it so many times. But yeah, I found it interesting. And to me, now I would never voice this out loud. To me, my whole life I've had this stuff happen. Like I'd hear things or I'd know something was there and not, I would talk to it in my mind and I would acknowledge it in my mind. Like I would have the conversation or whatever, or, touch the tree, like it would just be whatever is around, and I'd acknowledge it and have the chat, and it could be whatever it is, a being or whatever. But so for me, for that to happen, it's not unusual in that way, but it is in what it was that showed up, and it's more unusual than I speak to another human being about it. And I feel silly because I'm talking to someone else, like a human being, about this.
Get used to that idea, pal, that I've been placed here to get people ready for what's coming. And when the rest of you tribes show up, we're all serving the same purpose. But based on our experiences here, a lot of this sounds silly and fairy tale-ish and ridiculous, but I can tell you it's not. And what we're trying to prepare ourselves for is that we're cool when we see other being forms that are human. We get that. We're comfortable with seeing this all the time. Now, when we see more advanced versions of ourselves, when these are crystalline bodies like the Lemurians, they still look familiar to us, but like flawless. My point is that there are other beings in inner Earth now, beyond Earth sentient beings that are visiting now that don't look like that. And part of the objective for us is to help people get used to extraordinary things because these forms are going to take extraordinary shapes. We're not used to it. But I promise, I guarantee that they're all benevolent and they're here to assist us. But it's going to be natural for our little 3D human beings that aren't used to any seeing anything strange and extraordinary, especially based on whatever things have already been pre-programmed into our heads. When we hear the word alien, we have already been predisposed to things that aren't what we're going to experience. But I can tell you to get ready for forms that are not human.
So
Yeah.
yeah, this is, and the next thing I wanted to say was just that last time at the very end of our conversation, it's the end of our conversation again. You said we would talk back. You would tell me, you said, did Druids mean anything to me? And then you said that I'll talk to you next time about why you're living where you're living. So I'm curious about that.
Well, there's crazy every time druids, elementals, fairies, and sprites, and all the other things you want to lump into that category. To me, every time I hear about somebody that's in like the British Isles, Ireland, and Great Britain, parts of Europe as well, but there's a lot of forestry and inner earth things that occur to me there. And as soon as I seem to mention it to people that resonate with me, all of a sudden they just like clicked into a new level, like fairies and elementals and all that. So I say that because that had been my experience, and I was only articulating the things that occurred to me when I was talking to these people. The same idea about druids that I didn't think I had any experience with still came to me, and it resonated with the people I was having these conversations with. So what's happened within the last week is, if you've listened to any of these podcasts, you've probably seen or heard Paula Davis. And Paula is, she's like me in so many ways, 3D wise. She's another Capricorn, the due diligence. Yeah, we understand the finer points to all of that. She spent a lot of her career time as a political science, like a professional consultant. So here's a girl who is in touch with reality, very professional. And you know, her demeanor doesn't waver very much. She's very grounded, you get that. So when she's had these medium skills all her life, and for a while she played with it, and then she was more involved in the business world and kind of left that behind until more recently, it looks like the two worlds are now kind of linking up. And so last week, what happened when she finally opened herself up, because she was told that her other gifts were now about to blossom and it was time for her to begin to use them. So, in her mind, it was okay, how do I introduce these things in my professional world with the mediumship I've got? She started to channel fairies the other day when she just let herself go. So, can you see now where people that are triggered by elementals, who had no experience with it before, are all of a sudden in touch with them? Not surprised a bit. And that was foreign to her. She's certainly communicated in sessions with other people in mediums and help people, you know, reach into, you know, past lives and touch up with their loved ones, but not this. And so she recognizes that she's been opened up to something more and beyond herself. It was no surprise that when she was prodded to write a book about inner earth and telos, and she didn't understand why at the time, now things are starting to come into sharper focus for her too. Well, I think we're
She,
good for today.
yeah,
Yes.
we're good for today. I'll say one thing. She said something that really resonated, and to me, and this was, I don't know, it was probably an interview 4 months ago or something. But she said that. And I just see it everywhere now. It's so clear. Like, I love her in my heart. Like, to have this kind of love for humanity, of being able to see governments, people who keep other people in survival mode for a purpose. Nobody anywhere in the world needs to be in survival mode. Unless they have life lessons, I don't know. But no government needs to put other human beings in survival mode. Everyone, like literally tomorrow, all world governments could pay for homes for homeless, could pay for everything could be done like this because the money is there. Everything could be done. There's no problem to it. Money's not real anyway, really. It's an energy frequency, but. She said something about this, and then she said, "What happens when people are brought out of that? They're able to think, they're able to expand, they're able to be." I was watching this movie, this new movie called Wish out with my daughter, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's what this is about. Like some of these new movies for children, they're so on point for where humanity's going, and they're expanding children's awareness through myth, like modern myth. I mean, it's actually incredible, some of these things. The one man who is the king represents the governments and not allowing people to have their wishes and taking them away and making people feel like they're, I mean, it's really dawning on me right now when I'm speaking to you about this, but this is like, that's that movie there. But I just feel such love in this woman that I've never met, that she could say that and that she could feel that about humanity. And I never knew that before. Like I never saw the survival. Like here in Ireland, homelessness, homeless families are, it's gotten quite bad. And it's the more media talks about it, the worse it gets, obviously. The problem just grows and grows and grows. But the government could do something about it. You could change it tomorrow. But anyway, yeah.
It was going to require a reset. We were talking about this last night on the podcast interview, and there was something that occurred to me early in this whole awakening journey. And that was the notion, first of all, that in order for Earth's consciousness to rise, humanity's consciousness would have to be over 50% to rise our own collective consciousness, and that would contribute to Earth's rise. Yeah, that's not right. Earth's consciousness is a whole separate task, and she's on a cosmic cycle that has nothing to do with our 80 to 100 year cycles here. Nothing. We just happen to be here during a cosmically historic time when she, like every other sentient being, is moving into her new level of awareness, and we just happen to be along for the ride. But again, in order for us to enjoy that new environment, our vibration has to match it, which is why we've gone on and on and on the way that we have from, worlds. I didn't have any awareness of any of this until 2016. But once it's in your awareness, you can't ignore it anymore. And when you start to compare that perspective of the world with our current 3D perspective, you see the bigger picture. And you don't get wrapped up in so much of what we're trying to continually be conditioned by. Well, there's got to be a more positive note we can leave this on.
It's okay, but that's positive too. It is positive. It's a good chat. We had a great chat, and I'm happy that we got to connect because I think, yeah, anyway.
We're not done. Here's where we just get clarity when we can finally talk to somebody else about things like you admitted this is not a topic you and your husband share. And so there's still more to our own little personal metaphysical evolutions that only gets triggered when we can have these expressions with somebody else. I've come to appreciate that. You don't get this sequestered in a place by yourself. I thought that that was an ideal place to get more information. But until I attended a retreat back in mid-February and engaged with others, that's when I remembered when that type of energy exchange takes place and those codes that you're supposed to exchange with others, that doesn't happen in any place other than when you communicate like this. Now, the good news for us is Zoom is the next best thing for that. Because there's no way that you and I were going to meet for lunch today, seeing how you were in Ireland and I'm in Arizona. But look at what we could accomplish this way. So, yes, we can still take advantage of technology in a way that benefits us all. But man, all of this is just providing a place where we can have these conversations While our evolution is working itself out, there's somebody that can help me. And the more I hear about other people's paths and how they found me in the first place, which is almost synchronistic magic every time, I see the purpose that they play in this intersection. And whatever was supposed to happen for me wouldn't have happened until you showed up. It's crazy. So my point was, we're not done with these conversations. And it's not as though Katie needs to tether herself for Lowell to be able to express these new things that are coming out. It just triggers that way. But during these exchanges, and there's something that I get out of them, Katie, just as much as you do, we were meant to take that, add it to our light, and go apply it to our own little fields with that new level of awareness that we got. It wasn't that, you and I only get this when we're together. No, we got what we were supposed to get while we were together. And now it's time for me to go assist somebody else and illuminate their lamp a little bit more.
While you're saying this, now I had subscribed to your channel on my husband's YouTube, and he watches YouTube downstairs on TV all the time. I never do. I might use my phone to watch it if I watch something. It's like you guys or something. But anyway, so I had subscribed it because I was watching a couple things, and the day after
Oops.
we chatted, and when you so my husband goes down to have his coffee and he's watching YouTube, and my daughter comes in and he sees my face. My daughter's like, my mom's famous. So I'm upstairs meditating on my bed, and she charges in the room. Mom, you're famous. She's like, oh. I'm like, well, that's that. And she was going around telling all the neighbors. This is so funny. Oh dear. You know what? I don't think my husband watched. I think he kind of fast forwarded to see if he was being talked about when he told me this. And then and I said, but Jim, you should watch it. But I don't think he ever did watch it. But anyway, that's it's
These
interesting.
are seeds that are planted. And I remember seeing coming across that kind of content. And as long as you know where it is, either that's going to get under his skin and pique his curiosity to learn more about it, or it won't. Wherever he is on his journey, he's where he's supposed to be. And we all send him love and light and, send him along his way because he's still learning lessons on behalf of all of us, like we all are. Whether he's in touch with this today, who's to say? But again, just like it triggered your daughter, that was a seed that you planted, and now they know it's out there. Whether they want to pursue learning more about it is now totally up to them. But that's what we love about the whole sovereign nature of this, is that we recognize we're all different. We all have free will. We all have the ability to make our own decisions, and we all support that. Yeah, there's nothing right or wrong in the things that we're experiencing. They're lessons, and they're meant for everybody. So we'll see whether that particular seed plant bears any fruit with your husband. But don't be surprised that you don't look back at this and here's the milestone. We talked about it. And you can even point him back to this broadcast. See, yeah, we told you that we knew that one day this was going to come around, but it wasn't up to us to tell you about it. It's just, it's satisfying to watch the organic process take place where nobody's trying to shove this down your throat. We just have an awareness of things. And you're preparing yourself, honey, for the day when others around you are going to finally have questions about this and everything that's going on. And won't it be lovely that they know Katie and she can assist them with it? Yeah.
I love that.
So then we'll end here because that was such a lovely notion. I like it. All right. Well, stay in touch.
Okay,
And
I love you.
I love you too. Take care, kid. See ya.
Okay, bye, bye, bye.